Take your Bibles this evening, 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Been going through the book of 2 Thessalonians on Sunday evenings. Pick up here this evening again here in the last chapter, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. But before we read here in chapter 3, verse number 1, I want you to look back over in chapter number 1, same book, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and just some things that jump out to me before we read what we're going to read here in chapter 3. But in chapter 1, verse number 10, the Bible says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Verse number 12, same chapter, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. And we jump over to chapter 3, verse number 1, as he closes out the letter. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Being glorified, Jesus Christ being glorified, we glorifying in our lives and also glorifying his word and just praising him for what he's done for us. The word glorified means to be honored, dignified, exalted to glory. Jesus Christ definitely desires, or it deserves to be honored, dignified, and exalted to glory. And so does his word as well. So praise the Lord God, glorify him, lift him up. But we'll pick here in verse number 2 of chapter 3. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Lord, direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Let's pray. Holy Father, I thank you for this opportunity again this evening, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Thank you for your word. So, Lord, please help us tonight, dear God, to get what we can out of your word. Please open our ears and our eyes, dear God, to receive it. And, Lord, help us not just let it go in one ear, out the other. Lord, help us be a doer of your word as well. We pray these things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says here in chapter 3, verse 1, we looked at it last week. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. You know why? Because the devil and the world and everybody's going to try to stop the word of God from having free course. Why? Because it brings deliverance. Real quick, hold your hand here. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul's asking the brethren, they said, listen, I need you to pray for me in order for the word of God to have free course. Why does he need them to pray that the word of God has free course? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. That's why we pray before our services. That's why you should pray before you go out on the streets, before you go to your work, before you go to your job. Pray that God would just help you, give you wisdom and guidance that the word of God might have free course. Now, I will say this. If you got a job, your job first and foremost is your job, not to be an evangelist. Okay? Your employer didn't hire you to be an evangelist. He hired you to do your work. Okay? And that's what you're being paid for. But if God provides an open opportunity at your work now, you try to walk through that door and be a light and a testimony. But you say, pray to the Lord that his word would have free course. Why? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Look at verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So why do we need to pray that the word of the Lord has free course? Why? Because the God of this world hath blinded the minds and the eyes of them which believe not, unless the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. As you go out these doors tonight, Lord willing, if we live to make it to go out these doors tonight, we got to realize as we step out into this world, we step out into our jobs, we step out into the grocery store, the gas station line. Listen, this world has been blinded by the God of this world, Satan, and Satan does not desire, nor does Satan want ever, that the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto the lost. Right. So Paul's telling the church back over there in 2 Thessalonians, he says, brethren, finally, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for us, Timotheus and Silvanus. Pray for all three of us that when we preach the word of God, it goes forward and has nothing to hinder it. And then it may be glorified as it is with you. He says in verse 2, this, and that we may be delivered. The prayer goes on. He asked for prayer, that the word of the Lord may have free course, that it may be glorified, and that they may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Paul's saying, listen, brethren, I need your prayers that I'm delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. That word unreasonable means they're irrational. They're exorbitant. They're immoderate. Paul's saying, brethren, I need prayer as I deal with unreasonable men, as I deal with wicked men, that God would give me wisdom and guidance. Irrational means this, not according to the dictates of reason. It means clearly contrary to reason, easily disproved by reasoning. The word absurd means this, contrary to reason or propriety. It means inconsistent with the plain dictates of common sense. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 26. I mentioned this morning in the morning hour, that I get to this verse, and I wanted to touch on it tonight. Dealing with unreasonable and wicked men. For all men, not all men have faith. But look what the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 4. Here is a contradiction in your Bible. There's a contradiction in your King James Bible right here. I'm going to give you one right here. Verses 4 and 5, because it makes no sense. Watch what it says. Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest also he like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Hang on a second. I thought you just told me to not answer a fool according to his folly. But then the next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly. Which one's right? They're both right. They're both right. And this is where walking with the Holy Spirit and having discernment comes in. Because you're going to deal with unreasonable and wicked men. If you go out here and you try to witness to somebody, or brethren, if you just try to live a normal life, I'm not even going to bring the gospel in it. I'm just going to say, just try to be normal. You're going to run across unreasonable and wicked men. And so how do you handle yourself when you come across these individuals? There's times where you answer them, and then there's times where you just keep your mouth shut. There's times where God says, okay, I want you to say something. I want you to answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. I want you to answer him here. But then there's going to be times where God's going to say, no, I want you to keep your mouth shut, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Verse number 4 says, lest I also be like unto him. So there's a time to answer and there's a time not to answer. You need that discernment to know whether to speak or whether not to speak. And that's what Paul's praying. Paul's praying, said, pray for us that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. You know why? Because they'll take up your time. Yeah. They'll take up your time. You might be at work and God's working on the heart of somebody over here, but then the Lord might want you to go and you might have an opportunity to talk with them, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and it's just perfect timing, and they start dealing with you and they want to argue with you about something that they have no desire to know the truth about. They just want to get in an argument. They like that fight and that battle. And you got to realize, okay, what's going on here, that I might have an opportunity with this individual over here. Now, take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 9. Proverbs 29, look what the Bible says here in verse number 9. Now, I want you to hold your hand here just for one moment, because I want to put two verses together. Flip over to Psalm 14 as well. So hold your hand in both. So before we read Proverbs chapter 29, verse 9, I want to read Psalm chapter 14, verse number 1. We're going to put the two of them together, because it's going to go along with what we're facing in our society today. Okay? Look at Psalm 14. Look at verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here. Psalm 14, 1. The Bible says in Psalm 14, 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Most individuals out here today, the majority of our country, the majority of our college and universities and institutions out here today, our public school system teaches that there is no God. You go to any public school system, from the elementary school all the way up to high school, they teach evolution. There is no God. So that means the vast majority of your people coming through this, the public school system and then on up into the universities, from graduate degrees to postgraduate degrees to doctorate degrees, all that's being pushed into minds from little kids from the time they're little all the way up to they're 24, 25, 26 years old is that there is no God and you've evolved. And the Bible says that the fool said in his heart that there is no God. Now, with that in the back of your mind, look over at Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 9. Look what the Solomon says here. He says, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. You can try to contend. And the book of Jude says that we're to contend for the faith, but you need to pick your battles. You need to pick your battles that God wants you to fight, and then the battles God doesn't want you to fight, you need to walk away from them and not worry about your pride. See, sometimes a lot of, especially with Bible-believing Christians, they got their pride wells up in it, and they say, I can't just leave this because I can't be proven wrong or want to look like I'm wrong. Walk away. If God's not in it, walk away. Let God handle it. Because whether you rage or laugh, there's going to be no rest because there's a fool. And a fool said in his heart, there is no God. So you need to realize and you have that discernment of how and when to deal with people and when not to deal with individuals. We were talking with somebody on the street not too long ago, a couple months ago, and they made the statement that I really don't lie. Well, I can't remember. I think they almost said they don't lie. I'm thinking, well, you're lying right now. You know, if you're honest, come on. You just say to make and you're lost and you say you don't lie. You're not even being honest with yourself, right? Okay, so right there I realize, okay, we're not going nowhere. You can't even admit that you lie or that you've lied. So how can we debate or go any further when you can't even acknowledge this? And so I will wipe my hands and we'll go on. Okay? Take your Bible, look at Ecclesiastes. Paul's asking for prayer to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all men have faith. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Look at chapter 10 and look at verse number 12. Ecclesiastes 10, 12. Look at verse 11 real quick. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. You know, real quick, whether you're dealing with a fool or not, if it's the conversation is all about them. Okay, verse 13. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. Man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? You can't reason with a fool. You can't talk with a fool. Whether you rage or whether you laugh, there's no rest. Listen, a fool is ate up with himself. He's full of himself. He swallows himself up. And his talk is mischievous, just mischievous madness. Brethren, I'm going to try not to get excited tonight, but we're dealing with mischievous madness today. I identify as a 20-year-old woman. Mischievous. I'm telling you, brethren, it's mischievous madness. It makes no sense. And I'm not trying to put anybody, brethren, but it makes, we're dealing with, in the last couple of years, individuals that it defies logic, just common sense logic. I'm a cat. Brethren, I saw a little parody the other day, and I thought it was quite funny. And it was about a 22-year-old black man. And he said he identified as a 65-year-old white man from Colorado. Amen. Brethren, we've lost our common sense. And the Bible shows us we're raising a generation of fools, and a fool can't keep his mouth shut. We got a generation out here. Listen, everything just comes right out. No filter. Mischievous madness. You got things going on that even 10 years ago would make no sense. To where, brethren, Kansas this past week, the state of Kansas, passed a bill to define what a woman is. We need to know what a woman is? I'll tell you one thing a woman is. A woman can have a baby. I cannot have a baby. My wife has had four of them. And guess what, brethren? I didn't need a doctor degree to know when my wife and those babies came out the womb, I knew instantaneously what they were. Amen. I didn't have to wait 4 or 5 years for them to identify what they were. Yeah. Right immediately, I knew whether they were a boy or whether they were a girl. Yeah. Pretty plain, pretty clear, pretty easy. But we've lost the brethren. I'm telling you, our common horse sense has been taken away from us, and we don't even realize the mischievous madness that we're walking in. Our society has lost its mind. And you, brethren, you cannot reason with it. I've seen some people trying to reason with people like that. I'm telling you, you're wasting your time. You cannot reason with a fool that does not desire truth. If you won't desire truth, you're wasting your time. Ask God to move you on to somebody else and try to be a blessing and a help to them. Brethren, Matthew chapter 7, verse 6 says this, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Ask the Lord, like Paul's asking, go back over to 2 Thessalonians. Paul's asking, he's saying, brethren, I need you to pray for me that I would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Everybody we deal with does not have faith, nor do they desire to have faith. You say, what is faith? Faith is this. It's belief. It's the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without other evidence. The judgment that what another states or testifies is the truth. You see, in theology or religion, it's the assent of the mind or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed. Simply belief or simple belief of the scripture of the being and perfections of God and of the existence, character, and doctrines of Christ. That's faith. Believing what God said, trusting what God said, and walking in faith and acting upon what God has revealed. Not only in creation, but what God has revealed through his word. Brethren, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God and affirm it showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day they utter speech and they utter knowledge. Listen, that creation tells you that there's a God. Amen. If you'll just look at creation, there are certain animals and creatures that God has made that it is impossible for them to evolve. Impossible for them to evolve. I remember one time Miss Chris Coble gave me one of the moments of truth or whatever the thing was, and it was on that bird. And that bird has got basically a thermometer for a tongue. And I don't know, I forget all of it, but it was the male bird. After the male bird would take all this time and build up this sand mound for the female then to come in and lay the eggs. And as he built up the sand mound, he also used leaves as well, if I got it all correct. The female would come in, lay the eggs, and she'd leave. And that egg had to stay at a certain temperature. It couldn't fluctuate one degree up or down. That temperature had to be very, very specific for that egg in order for it to hatch. And that bird, its tongue, had a thermometer for a tongue. Or whatever was in his beak. And it could measure the temperature of the sand and of that egg. And if it was too cold, it knew to take some of it, or if it was too cold, it knew to put some sand on it to insulate it more. And then it knew if it got too hot to take some of the sand off so that it would be at the right temperature. Don't tell me that it just evolved that way. It would never get there because it would always die because it wouldn't be at the right temperature. Common sense. The Bible shows us, God shows us that he's real, he exists, and it's the one with whom we have to do. But not all men have faith. Not all men have faith. Why? Why don't some men have faith? Because they don't want God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32 and look at verse number 15. Hold your hand there in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we're going to jump from there over to Proverbs chapter 1. So Deuteronomy 32, Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to jump over to Proverbs in a second. Deuteronomy 32. And I want you to look at verse number 15, and then we'll be over in Proverbs chapter 1. Why don't some men have faith? Well, they reject God. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15. This is God's people. Look what the Bible says here in verse 15 of chapter 32. But Jeshurun, that's another name for the Lord's precious ones, or the righteous people, or the upright ones, referring to God's people, the Jewish people. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him, who? God. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. Look at verse 17. Now, these are God's people. Look at verse 17. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord God saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation. Children, look what the Bible says, children in whom is no faith. Why are they children in whom is no faith? Because they've saw the world all around them, and they've gone and served these false gods. They've rejected God. They provoked God. They sacrificed unto devils, and they wanted nothing to do with the true God that delivered them. And God said, I'm going to turn and hide my face from them, and I will see what their end will be. Why? Because they are a forward generation, children in whom is no faith. They don't believe what God says. We read the definition of faith. I can get you the definition if you want it. But God has revealed truth. God delivered the children of Israel, and they rejected it. And they went their own way, and they served false gods. And God says they are children in whom is no faith. Take your Bible. Look over at Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse 24. Here's wisdom crying out. Look at Proverbs 1 verse 24. Actually, look at verse 22. Wisdom's crying out from the high places of the city. The Bible says in verse 21. Look at verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Another reason you can't reason with a fool, they hate knowledge. They don't want nothing to do with God. Look what wisdom says in verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. But look what wisdom says in verse 24. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set it not on my counsel, and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. So what the Bible's saying here is God saying, and wisdom saying, listen, I've got my hand outstretched, no man regard it. I put forth my words, you want nothing to do with it. Fools hated knowledge, people mocked it, people made fun of it. Wisdom said, I tried to get your attention, I tried to help you out, you wouldn't listen to my words. But wisdom says, I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear comes. And when you try to call out to me, I'm not going to answer you. Why? Because you rejected me early on. Brethren, that's why it's so important that if God's dealing with your heart about something, you just don't push it off. You don't push it off. If wisdom's dealing with you, if God's dealing with you and speaking to you and working upon your heart, and the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, you just don't push it off. Because the Bible says here in verse 29, the reason wisdom won't answer them, the reason they won't find wisdom, verse 29, for that they hated knowledge. Well, who hated knowledge? Verse 22, the fool. the fool hated knowledge. And you can draw an arrow up there to verse number 22. Because they hated knowledge, and look what the Bible says, it did not choose the fear of the Lord. It's a decision. It's a decision to choose to fear God. But guess what? When you reject to choose to fear God, look what you reject. Go over to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, real quick. Here's a cross reference. This is what they chose to reject. They chose to reject the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8, verse 13, you get the definition. This is what they rejected. And this is what they put their faith in. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. And the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. The fool loves those things. And the fool chooses to follow the things. And God says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. What's wisdom? It's to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the forward mouth and the evil way. Listen, the fool says, I love those things. And God says, no, I need you to hate those things because that's wisdom. Back over Proverbs 1, verse 9, they didn't choose to fear the Lord. Verse 30, they would none of my counsel. And they despised all my reproof. God's trying to get a hold of these people by reproof. God's trying to get a hold of his people by wisdom. And they rejected it. They pushed it off because not all men have faith. Look at verse 31, though. Therefore, shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. Brethren, that is a cross reference right back over to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Children in whom is no faith. God says, I'm going to step off. I'm going to leave you alone. You want to do what you want to do. You got your own reasonings. You got your own ideas. You got your own conceits. You have your own imaginations. You think you know it all. You think you got it all set up. God says, I've tried to help you. I've tried to reach out to you. I tried to reprove you. I've tried to correct you. I've tried to help you and you rejected it. God says, okay, you're going to be turned unto your own devices and you're going to eat the fruit of your own ways. That's fearful. Because verse 32 says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them. And this is America right here, my friends. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy. What's a fool? He hates knowledge and he despises and he chooses not to fear the Lord. Not all men have faith. Not all men have faith. Now, go back over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So Paul says, pray for us as we hopefully are delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Not all men want to hear what the gospel's got to say. Not all men want the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's many examples and stories in the book of Acts. If you want to read more about it, read through the book of Acts. And you'll see that that Paul and both Peter, Paul and John, and the other apostles and disciples, they had their hands full as they went into different cities by the Jews who didn't want nothing to do with God. And they were unreasonable and wicked men. Now, verse number 3. For the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We have confidence in the Lord touching you that you both do and will do the things which we command you. Paul desires for the brethren to realize that God's faithful, and he'll keep them established, and he'll keep them from evil. You know what God desires for you in your Christian walk as a Christian? God desires for you to be perfect, in this sense, complete, established, strengthened, and settled. That's what God desires for Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord. Take your Bible, look over 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 10. 1 Peter 5, God desires for us to be settled, to be established. And the Lord's faithful. He'll establish you and he'll keep you from evil if you just keep walking with him. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 10. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know how that comes about? By suffering. Comes about, that's the only way it's going to come about is by suffering. Brethren, you see the worldly principle of that in sports. Now I'm going to give a carnal example. You take this state right here is real big. This state here and another state out in the Midwest called Iowa. Big states for wrestling. Big states for wrestling. I like wrestling. Collegiate wrestling, high school wrestling. I'm not talking about this fake nonsense. I like wrestling because Paul says, Paul gives it as an analogy, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Paul uses that as an example. And there's just something about wrestling where it's not a team event, even though it is, but it's just you and the other individual on the mat. It's just you versus them. And you can't blame anybody else if you lose. You lose. It's fair and square. It's not the referee's fault. It's not your teammate's fault. It's between you and that other individual. And what's a blessing about it is, in order to get to be a good wrestler, you have got to suffer some things. Out of any sport out there today, and there's a lot of sports out there today, one sport that I had the most respect for and admiration for, and I did it for a little while, is wrestlers. I remember I played basketball in high school, but I remember walking and running sometimes past the weight room and the sweat room and the mat room and watching those wrestlers just get tormented by their coach. Literally tormented by their coach. Going through a deck of cards and doing push-ups, sit-ups, and all kinds of stuff. I mean, then them going into showers and putting trash bags all over them because they're trying to make weight. I mean, they went through it. They suffered some things to get to where they can wrestle. But you know, an individual that's willing to put the time and effort into it physically, and if they got a little bit of talent, just a little bit, it'll take them a long way. Because they'll be strengthened, they'll be settled, they'll be complete because they put in the work, but it cost them something and they suffered through it. It wasn't nothing joyous. But if they were willing to push through it, in the end, they would come out with a medal. If they just pushed through it and let the coach teach them and guide them and direct them and not quit when they wanted to quit, eventually it would settle them out to where they'd be a settled, complete type of a wrestler. Brethren, God desires the same thing in the spiritual realm. If your desire tonight, you say, Lord, help me to be a perfect Christian. I'm talking about a Christian that is complete, a Christian that is settled, a Christian that is strengthened, a Christian that is established. That means you're going to have to suffer some things. You're going to have to go through suffering. There's no other way to get that other than to go through suffering. It's the same thing in other areas in the military. When you go to boot camp, it wasn't going to an amusement park. It was they were to do something to you. They were to make you suffer in order to make you a better established soldier for the cause of the United States. And God desires for you to be established, strengthened, perfect, complete soldier for Him in His army. All right, so. Paul says, God's faithful. He'll establish you and He'll keep you from evil. Now, last thing I want to close with this evening, back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. I read them. I'll read them again and we'll close out with these verses right here. Paul says, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting of Christ. Paul desires for the brethren, for their hearts to be directed into what? Knowledge? No. Into the love of God. Brethren, that's one of the hardest things to do right there. Because Paul says, not only I want you to do what I'm getting ready to command you. He said, I want the Lord to direct your hearts into what? Into the love of God. The love of God. You know, Brian said it numerous times up here when he's led singing. And there's a hymn that says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and how He could love me, a sinner, condemned, and unclean. Brethren, one hard thing to learn and to struggle with, especially today in the hour we're living in, is to have patience with one another, to have a love for one another as God loves us. You know, I think I've been found guilty of this before as a preacher, and I know I've heard other preachers that have been in it for a while talk about it. That independent Baptists, sometimes preachers like to beat the sheep. But you know, you don't beat sheep. You can't beat sheep. I covet your prayers. I covet your prayers. That I would be a pastor that would lead by example and not try to force things from the pulpit. That God would direct my heart into His love. Now, I'm not saying there's not a time to stand for things and be firm for things. But how did Jesus say everybody would know that you were His disciples? By your love for one another. So I'll pray for you, and I ask that you pray for me, that I'd love you like I ought to love you. You try to love me as I ought to be loved as well. And that this church will be a testimony of the love of God. Amen. I'm not talking about this Joel Osteen nonsense. I'm talking about true, genuine Christian love for one another. Brethren, I don't ever want this church to get to of me versus them, or them versus us, or us versus... No, because I think that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants to divide. And Paul notices this. Paul, in the wisdom that he gets from the Holy Spirit of God, Paul knew exactly what was going on. Paul says, I'm praying and I want the Lord to direct your hearts into the love of God. Why? Because your heart is going to want to go somewhere else. You know what's in our hearts a lot of time, what as a Christian, you know, one of the hardest things, and it's probably going to take from a lot of people, maybe not you, but for me, it may take a lifetime for God to root out and pull out that tree of pride in our life. Of feeling like I've got to prove my point, I've got to show you that I'm right, and then ultimately it comes back to pride. And the Bible says that God abhors, and God, it's an abomination. Pride is an abomination to God. What God desires, he desires to pull. He desires, look, brethren, tonight, God desires to work in your life. But as He works in your life, brethren, and as He does the pruning, and as He does the, for lack of better words, the husbandry, the landscaping, the working in your life and trying to get you to produce the fruit He desires you to produce, and to root out the things that God doesn't want there and there, and to put in the things that God wants in there, brethren, that is a process, and sometimes it's a very painful and hard process. Brethren, I'll tell you, it's better, brethren, this is why it's so important to raise our children when they're this little in the things of God, because when they get this big, it's almost impossible and very difficult to do, and it takes a miracle of God to do it. Yeah. I've said this before, you take an apple tree, and if an apple tree is this high, and a farmer's got a bunch of them, and he's using this orchard to produce apples for his money, he goes through, and when they're this high, they get flowers on them, and he goes through and he takes his fingers and he can pull off all the flowers, because wherever there's a flower, there's going to be an apple. And that farmer knows that this tree, when it's this big, it cannot handle those apples on it, and I don't need it producing apples yet because it's still young. But I'm going to give you some help here tonight. I pray you listen to me. Some of you that are younger in the faith and haven't been saved very long, you don't need Bible school. Because sometimes I'm telling you, brethren, number one, to preach, I gotta show me Bible. God established the local church. God established pastors and teachers, and God knows what you need while you're here, and what you might be getting out there, you might not be ready to handle it yet, and it's going to break something off in your life. And I'm going to give you an example. So when a young tree is this big, it's easy. You prune it, you take it with your fingers, you pull out the flowers, and I'm going to wait until a couple years before it can start producing fruit. And so the farmer waits. Most apple trees, it's 5 to 6 years. They get about 10 feet high, and the farmer says, okay, now they're strong enough to bear the apples that's going to go on their branches. But the problem is, if they start producing the fruit at this age, that tree is going to fall over, a branch is going to break. Why? Because it can't handle the knowledge it's getting. And I'm afraid today, in a lot of independent Baptist churches, we're giving young Christians the knowledge yet that they cannot handle, and they're wielding a sword, and they're going around, and they're cutting people up, and they don't even know how to handle swords yet, because they're not old enough to hold a sword. Brethren, I see the damage that it causes in churches through the years. It's destroyed families because they get knowledge and they're not well enough to handle that knowledge yet, nor do they have the grace and the love to handle that knowledge. And they dice people up. A power saw is a good tool, but you would never hand it to a two-year-old. You know what we need today, brethren? We need Christians today. We're going to get it in the latter part of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You know what Paul tells the brothers there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3? He says, disassociate yourselves from them that walk disorderly, and you need to get, young men, you need to get a job. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul says, you need to get a job. You need to get a job. You need to work. If you got a family, you support your family. That's first and foremost. Husbands, if you got a wife, your first responsibility is to your wife. Wife, if you got a husband, your first responsibility is to your husband. And if you have children, your responsibility is to your children. Before any type of outreach. We got a lot of people today, they got knowledge. But the homes are being destroyed, the children are being destroyed, and the devil is sitting back and he's laughing at it. We've put the emphasis on the wrong things. Now listen, I'm not against learning. I'm not against books. I'm not against going through and learning things through the Bible. I'm not against those things. But what does the Scripture say? What does the Bible say? I said this morning, and bear with me a few more seconds here. I got at least, I would say at least 50 books in my office. But I have trouble reading those books, and I'll tell you why I have trouble reading them. Because I got this book right here. If I really believe that this is the Word of God, and I know every book that I got in there outside of a Bible, King James Bible, is not the Word of God. But we got a lot of time spent in other books and in other things that may have a different slant, and it's not Bible. When I know when I go to this, I'll be safe. I'll be safe here. Brethren, I believe for the newest Christian that comes out the womb, they will be safe in this Bible if they do the three simple things that the Bible says for them to do. And I believe I can prove it from Scripture. They join themselves with a local church. They come to church. They pray and they read their Bible. And they go forward in the local church. They'll be safe. And my pastor used to say this back at home all the time. He said, unless you get prideful, he said he believed that God would never put you in a situation that you couldn't handle unless you got ate up with your pride. And that he'd always give you the answers you needed with the situations you might have to deal with. Just walk with him. Now, what we need today, as I close out here, we need young men that are willing to work, to get up on time. Whether your job's at night or your job's in the morning, we need young men today that are willing to go out there and work. There's an article that came out last week, I saw it, and they're having CNN and all of them were talking about, and it's interesting that they said men because there's no such thing as a man because they don't exist. That's just like a woman. But when it suits their purposes, they say men. which I thought was kind of hypocritical. There's a shortage of men in the workplace. Well, what is a man? I'm not trying to be funny. You don't know what a woman is, but all of a sudden now you want to put out this huge article on a shortage of men in the workplace. Why? Because you got a generation coming up, and I'm saying a couple generations piled on top to where you got men now that will not work. And then when they do work, they do a half job. Look, if you got a job, man, you go out there and you work your job, and I'm telling you as a Christian, you ought to go above and beyond what your job's saying to do. You see a piece of trash on the floor? Well, that's not my job. Pick the piece of trash up and throw it in the trash can. That's not my job. I don't care. A Christian, you pick it up, put it in the trash can. We need character today. God desires to develop your character. And if you get knowledge before the character, you're going to be that apple tree that's going to be like this. You're not going to be able to handle it. And if you let the tree that's like this, that's never been pruned and handled the right way, when it gets 10, 15 years old, it's going to be one crooked and messed up tree. Now, it can still produce fruit, but it's not going to be able to produce the fruit that it was designed to produce because you didn't get pruned like you should have gotten pruned. And you say, preacher, what do you do about a tree? Let's say you do have a tree and it gets this big and now it's going to take a lot of work, but you got to break out the chainsaws now. You can kind of get it to where you need it to be, but it's going to be a lot of hurt on that tree. Mm-hmm. That's what happens with a lot of Christians. About 10, 15 years in their Christian walk, all of a sudden they're wanting to get right and back with God. And God says, okay, it's possible, but it's going to hurt now because I got to break out some chainsaws. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people aren't willing to go that far. And when that first cut starts happening, they're like, no, this is too much for me. And they drip back off again. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important as newborn babes in Christ, as new Christians, to be established first and let character to be developed before all this knowledge starts coming in. In order for you to be established, strengthened, settled, and rooted and grounded in the love of God. I'm going to close with this. One preacher that I looked up to for years, Brother Wayne Henderson. That man was a blessing to me. I remember one time he said this. He said, if you have to use the sword on me, I want to see a tear in your eye. He said, if you got to break this out on me and you're going to deal with me about something, please show me a tear in your eye before you get ready to deal with me. Because at least that shows me you care as you're getting ready to cut on me, for lack of better words. I guess what I'm saying tonight as we close out, God wants to develop our character. Because brethren, we're living in the last days. We need Christians that are settled, and that their hearts are directed in the love of God, and that they're patiently waiting for their Savior to return. Patiently, you're finding more and more independent Baptists, they're going post-trib. True. Why? Because they're not patiently waiting. True. They're not patiently waiting. Patiently waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to love one another as we ought to love one another, and to be obedient, to be faithful. Allow God to prune. And I'll say this, brethren, as I close out. If you got a tree in your life that's not a good tree, but it's been allowed to grow in your life for the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and you just let that thing grow, and remember what it says there in the book of Hebrews, it says, lest the root of bitterness spring up in you. If it's gone from a root to a tree, and you want God to get it out of your life, it's going to be quite the process, my friend. Removing a tree's not that easy. At least moving a tree on the top end. But if you want to remove a tree completely, it's going to take a crater to remove that tree. Because from what I've learned and what I've learned about trees is what you see up top is usually what it is underneath as well. Think about that for a second. See, we think that if we got this huge problem in our life, if I just take the chainsaw and I just cut it off and I remove the tree, which I can see, but you still ain't dealt with what's underneath the ground. And that's where you really start to get the help you need in your life, is you let God start digging in and start getting what's rooted down in the ground. You're taking care of what's up top. That's good. That's right. That's fine. But now it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of digging to get what's up top out from underneath. And then once you get that out, I've got pictures of it. Once you remove the whole root system and the trunk and everything out of the ground, what do you have left but a big hole? See, that's what happens in a lot of people's lives, is God starts working there and they get in there and they try to remove things out of their life, and maybe it's painful and it's hard, but it leaves this huge hole. But then you got to fill that hole up with something good and right. You can't just leave it empty. So what you got to do is you got to remove it, but then you got to fill it with that which is good, which I'm going to tell you is the Word of God, and walking with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Put off. You can't. It's good to put off. It's good to put off, but you also got to put on. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day, dear God. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, please help, dear God. I just pray you help, Lord. Lord, I love you tonight. Help my lack of love. Lord, I think of that man, Lord, I believe, Lord, would help my unbelief. So, dear God, I pray you'd help Ray Street Baptist Church. Pray you'd help me. Help the brethren here, dear God. Help us, Lord, to allow our hearts to be directed to the love of God. Help us, Lord, to be willing to be moved by you. Lord, help us to be willing to be pruned. Lord, help us all, dear God, to allow you to work in our life, even in things and areas that might be quite painful. Lord, we know, dear God, that you love us and you desire the best for us. Lord, you want us to be strengthened. You want us to be perfect, established, and to grow in the love of you. So, Lord, help us with these things, dear God, this week. Help these brethren, Lord, as they go home tonight, Lord, to ponder these things that are contained in your word. And Lord, help us to put the emphasis, Lord, on what you put the emphasis on, dear God. And help us to walk in the light of your word. And we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brother. You want to close us in a song? You got one? Amen. We're going to close here in a song.
Page 356, near to the heart of God, we'll sing this one, how do you call it?